Wife and I went up in the mountains the other day. We do that occasionally, as often as we can. We just go messing around. We're not going any place in particular. And we spend most of the day riding, most of the time. And we leave at 7, 7.30 in the morning. We get home 8, 8.30 at night, 9 o'clock. And I'm always tired. It just wears you out. Now, we have a good time. I'm not complaining. We do it on purpose. We look forward to it. It's a blessing. But at the same time, it's a lot of hours, a lot of traveling, and it wear you out. You can grow weary with journeying. I got to thinking about that. I want to talk to you about it for a few minutes. I just had my 68th birthday, and my flesh grows weary quicker and easier than it once did. I don't last as long, and I've decided. Brother Lewis and I was on visitation a week or two ago, and I think next time we go, he's got to drive because I didn't see a single driveway. Not only am I weary of traveling, I'm not safe to travel. But life is a journey. Life is a journey. And sometimes it's a wearisome journey. I wish that everything in life, I wish that our journey through life was always pleasant, always refreshing, always inspiring. And sometimes it is. Sometimes life is a blessing and the journey is a blessing. But you got to admit, if you've been traveling very long, there are some places along the way you wish you'd have missed. Amen? And so I want to talk to you about that for just a few minutes. I want to point out some things that make the flesh grow weary in our journey. Now, we're journeying from the womb to the tomb. And we're going from earth to heaven above. And it's been an incredible journey. I don't know about yours, but mine has just been awesome. But sometimes you get tired. I want to point out, first of all, just a few things that will cause you to grow weary. And the reason I want to do that is not so you can say, oh yeah, that makes me tired, I quit. I want to point out some things that we can recognize that cause us to grow weary, that we might be aware of that, so that we can avoid it or at least minimize it. See? So that we can be encouraged, that we can be refreshed, that we can be strengthened to keep on keeping on and not give up the journey. Now, one of the first things I've found that wearies Christians is opposition. We don't like to be opposed. We don't like folks that take a contrary position to ours. And when the world opposes us, puts pressure on us to quit, puts pressure on us to be quiet, puts pressure on us to compromise our convictions, when everybody else is opposed to us, that's a weariness. And after a while, we just get tired. Don't you get tired of being the oddball sometimes? Don't you wish you could just be like everybody else every now and then? But you can't. You say, well, I'm just going to throw in the towel. I'm just going to live like them. Man, you can't do that. The Holy Ghost, Almighty God, will get all over you. I mean, you're trapped between two worlds. The only hope for any peace for a Christian is just go ahead and serve God and get it over with. Because you can't be happy back in the world anymore. I mean, you're ruined for that. Opposition to the journey makes us weary. The losses of the journey weary us. The loss, the things we have to give up that the rest of the world can enjoy. Since you got saved, has it cost you anything? That cost me all kind of stuff. I don't know what about you. They say, well, you know, salvation's free. It doesn't cost you anything. That's true. But separating from the world and living for God cost you plenty. I mean, I had to give up my cigarettes. Now, I want to tell you the honest truth. I love them Pall Mall Reds. Man, you could light them on either end and not have to worry about it. You could wake up in the middle of the night. You ever smoke a filter tip cigarette? You got to make sure you get the right end in your mouth, because if you light the filter, man, it's awful. to give up my drinking. Terrible. There are losses on this journey. If you're going to travel for God, if you're going to journey for the Lord, there's some things it's just going to cost. You're going to have to leave them behind. You can't take all that luggage. You can't take all that baggage with you. Amen. And so, sometimes Christians get weary of the losses. They get tired of having to give things up. Now, let me tell you how you can help that. Just keep telling yourself about all the things God gave you. Remind yourself of all the good things that God gave you to replace all the bad things God wanted you to leave behind. Amen? And if we would spend more time being thankful and mindful of what God gave us instead of so much time being sad and depressed about what we had to give up, the journey would not be near as wearisome as it is sometimes. Now, sometimes we grow weary because of the provisions for the journey. You ever make a trip? You ever notice that you don't seem to eat as well when you're traveling as you do when you're at some place for a period of time? When you're traveling, you're just wanting to get from here to there, and so you tend to snack out, junk out. Wife and I go up to the mountains every now and then. And it's in my DNA. Somewhere along the line, we have got to stop and get me a Mountain Dew. And a bag of meat skins. Amen. And sometimes I get a Mountain Dew, a bag of meat skins, and a Payday candy bar. It depends on how far into sin I want to go. We was going to the mountains the other day. We know all the places that stop. My wife knows where every Starbucks is at and where every one of the Krispy Kreme donut places are. And we always get in an argument about whether we want to get the coffee first and then the donuts, or get the donuts first and then the coffee, because you never can figure out where the line's going to be the longest. We eat junk. Amen. And all about you, by the time we get home, I'm sick and tired of it. I want a real meal. Amen. Now listen, I notice that sometimes Christians get a little weary because of the provisions that God gives us along the way. They get a little tired of the gospel music. They get a little tired of just the Christian fellowship. They get a little tired of the preaching. They grow weary of it. They want something more exciting. They think there's a higher plateau or a different level. I saw a church sign the other day that said, deep and shallow ministries. And then I went by this black church and it had a sign out there that said, God is taking us to a new level. I don't know what that is. Amen. You get saved, you get the Holy Spirit, you get in church. That's what you get. Amen. It's a good, solid diet. Can you imagine Israel in the wilderness, manna for 40 years? They grew weary of it. But it was sufficient to sustain them. It kept them healthy. It kept them well. It met every need they had. And what God gives us with the preaching of the Word of God and the Christian fellowship and church services and gospel music, those things are sufficient to sustain you on the journey. And sometimes Christians are wearied on the journey because of the path. Some years ago, wife and I bought this car. It was a Chevette. I'm sure you not hesitated when I said that. But it was brand new, and we thought it was just awesome. So help me, this thing didn't have enough power. If you put a suitcase in the trunk, it wouldn't haul both of us. I mean, it was just pitiful. I mean, that thing had a rubber band for a motor. We had that car about 6-8 months, and we was going to the mountains of North Carolina. And we was going up them switchbacks there along Lake Lure, you know, that Black Snake Road. And some of them things are pretty steep, must be 30, 40 degree angle. And my Chevette wouldn't go up the hill. We had to turn around and go back down and find another way because we didn't have enough power to get up the mountain. That's a true story. Sometimes the path of the journey wearies us. It's uphill and downhill and uphill and around this curve and this blind spot. And God takes us some places on our journey we just don't want to go. We don't want cancer in the family. We don't want marital problems. We don't want our children to go to the world. Sometimes on our journey, we have to go through things and pass through territory that we would just as soon never have seen it. Amen? And it wearies the flesh, and we keep thinking, why me? Why do I have to climb this hill? Why do I have to go through this deep valley? Why do I have to go around this blind curve? And we grow weary with the path of our journey. And sometimes we grow weary because of the casualties of the journey. I remember when we got saved and we set out on the road to heaven. Boy, and I had a bunch of Christian friends and I knew a bunch of preachers and went to a lot of meetings and stuff, had a lot of good times. And then as the years went by, this one fell away. And that one fell away. And then this one quit. And this one got in trouble. And after a while, it seemed like the side of the road was littered with people who fell away and who quit and who went back to the world. And it's a weariness to us. Keep thinking, when's it going to be me? Is it my turn next? Well, I don't know about you, but that ought to make you draw nigh unto the Lord. When you see other brothers and sisters falling away, when you see them get in trouble, when you see them get off the straight and narrow and you see what God puts them through, that ought to be a motive, that ought to be a motivating force for you and I to reinforce our determination to walk the straight and narrow and to finish our journey, to finish our course. I was talking to Brother Sammy Delaney a couple of years ago, and we were talking about the preachers we know that have fallen away because of sin, immorality. And I sat down one night in my living room, took a legal pad, and filled it from the top to the bottom with men I know personally who are no longer in the ministry. They're casualties along the way. That's depressing, see? That discourages the heart of the people. If it's that hard, how can I make it? If it's that difficult, how will I last, see? And we let those things, we look and see the problems other people had and the way they quit and the way they collapsed and the trouble they got into, and we let that discourage our heart. And we ought not do that. Then there's the demands of the journey. Wear us out. We just get weary. You know, when you get saved, contrary to modern theology, when you get saved, God expects you to live a certain way. There are some things God expects out of me and God expects out of you. God demands certain things from us. And as we go down the road, traveling for Jesus, on our journey to the celestial city, 1 foot in front of the other, 1 foot in front of the other, day in, day out, week in, week out, year after year, traveling down that road, there are certain things that God requires from us. Be thou faithful unto death. Amen. A laborer is worthy of his hire. God expects us, demands of us, that we are faithful to God, faithful to the things of God, faithful to the people of God, faithful to the house of God. God expects you to tithe. God expects you to go to church. God expects you to pray. God expects you to read the Bible. Now, I don't know about you. I can read almost any book once and I've got it. If it is a particularly technical book, sometimes I have to read the whole book twice, and sometimes you have to read certain parts two or three times to get it. I've been through the Bible over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and I still ain't got it all. People say, well, don't you get weary of the same old book? Well, you could if you didn't understand that that's a supernatural book. That's a divine revelation. That's God's roadmap. If you're on the journey, that thing's a light under your feet, a lamp under your path. It's food for your soul. It's bread and water and milk and honey and meat. And all that comes out of that blessed old book. See? You got to look at it the right way, lest you become weary on the journey. Sometimes we grow weary because of the duration of the journey. You know, if we could just sign on and sign on for a year contract or a 5-year contract, and we say, I got to put in this much time, and when I get right there, I'm through. I'm relieved of all obligations, all responsibilities, all duties. Boy, you could set that target date, and you could tough it out. I remember when I was in the Navy, the first cruise I ever went on went to Vietnam on the USS Enterprise. We were supposed to be gone 6 months. Then they upped it to 9 months. And when we got home, we had been gone 11 months. Now, for 6 months, I didn't think about going home because I knew you wasn't going. We psych ourselves for things. I said, 6 months. We got that calendar down there. December, we'd be home in June. And so, when you get down to June, then you can focus on going home. But then they move that thing back 3 more months. I don't know if I can do 3 more months or not. I need to go home and see Mama. Somebody say amen right there, buddy. Well, they give us the 3 extra months. Now it's 9. Boy, we psych ourselves up. You just got to do what you got to do. It's a long time. It's hard. Everybody's wanting to go home. We're weary. But we put it in. We get down almost to the end of the 9 months and they extended us again. I'm sick of that. I'm weary of that. I'd about ready to march down to the skipper's office and knock on his door and say, listen, Fort, I don't care what you and these other boys are doing, but these other boys are going home. And of course, I know they'd have put me in the brig, so I didn't do that, you know. But that's what you want to do. We just weary with the duration. It just seemed like it went on and on and on. I didn't know if I was going to recognize my children when I got home. I wasn't sure I'd recognize my wife. He grows weary. Why? Because it's so long. I've been saved over 40 years. I've been looking for Jesus to come the whole time. And He ain't showed up yet. I led a fellow to the Lord name one time. His name's Buddy Keller. Buddy Keller was a big old tall boy. If I had crazy, he had a pet snake. Anybody's got a pet snake is weird. Amen. You got a snake in your house on purpose, you're crazy. That's what you are. But he had this big old boa constrictor thing. But I led old Buddy Keller to the Lord. And he was asking a bunch of questions. Well, of course, back then, man, I was all pumped up on Jesus coming. And so I was telling him about the second coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church and the Lord coming in the clouds, you know. And I told him, I said, you know, I can just see it in my mind. The Lord comes back and descends in the clouds, and Gabriel blows the trumpet, and the Lord says, come up hither. And man, we start going up, and we're getting changed as we go up. And man, I can see this old body getting glorified, and the flesh melts away, and the bones show, and then I get brand new glorified sinews and muscles and skin. Boy, and I get transformed and translated in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, and I'm going up to see Jesus, and I'm looking down, and there's some big old fat cigar smoking, beer drinking Roman Catholic, got my boat and motor sitting out on the lake. I said, but I just waved to him, bye bye. Man, old buddy got all fired up about Jesus coming. Well, he didn't come that week, and he didn't come the next week. And about a month later, old buddy said, when's Jesus coming? I said, I don't know when he's coming, but he's coming. Amen. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. To where I am, there you may be also. I said, he's coming. So man, about another month walked along, rolled along there, and buddy said, when's Jesus coming? I said, I don't know, buddy, but he's coming. Just relax till he gets here. Just occupy till he comes. About 3 or 4 months, he come back. Where's Jesus? I don't know. 6 months, is Jesus coming? I said, He's coming. Well, when? I don't know, but He's coming. After about 8 or 9 months, buddy said, I have enough of this. He said, I can't wait no more. And he quit. And he went back to church then. He's still in the town. He grew weary in 6 months. Some of us been at it 40 years, 30 years, 20 years. And we say, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, and Jesus is coming. Amen. Amen? What you got to do is be patient. Don't throw away your confidence now. Don't throw in the towel now. Don't grow weary and say, oh, enough is enough. I've had all I can take. Listen, the way to win, the way to get all the blessings, the way to get all the rewards, the way to please the Lord is just keep on keeping on. You're on the journey and you don't quit till you get to the other side. Some folks get weary of the duration, how long it is. If I'd known it's been this long, I'd have done something else. Yeah, and you'd have went to hell too. When you get home to glory, here's what you're going to say. You may have been weary. You may have been worn out. You may have questioned things along the way. We all do that. But I guarantee you, when you get to the other side, here's what you'll say. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. There's an old song that said, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Got to make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil has tried to turn me around, he's offered me everything that's got a name. But I got to make it to heaven somehow. Amen. But I don't care what the world offers. I don't care what they paint. I don't care what kind of picture they give you. I don't care what kind of promises they make. You got to hang in there and hang in there. You can't grow weary in the journey. You start it out. Don't quit. Don't turn aside. Stay on the right way. Stay in the straight and narrow until you walk through them pearly gates. And Jesus says, welcome home. Amen. Listen, when we get home, we may be weary, but that's why there's a river of life for refreshing. When we get home, we may be weary, but the tree of life is there to strengthen us. When we get home to glory, we may be weary, but the streets of gold are inviting. When we get home, we may be weary, but the mansions will be exciting. When we get home, we may be weary, but the reception will be incredible. When we get home, we may be weary, but the reunion will be wonderful. I got to stop there. Hey, some folks, I want to see. I like that reunion thing. Now, I've come full circle. When I was a boy, if there was anything I didn't like, it was family reunion. My soul, how that many women could put that much bad food on one table at one time is a great mystery to me. My grandmother Hensley, God rest her soul, I believe she's up in glory. But every time we'd go to a family reunion, she'd take pan-fried chicken. And she cooked it in a frying pan with the skin on it. And it'd be all yucky. You had to be starving to death to eat Grandmother Hensley's chicken. And she made homemade biscuits. They was hockey pucks. They was about that big around and about that thick, and they were indestructible. Now, she could fix a good peach cobbler. I got to give her that. That's probably what got her that last point and got her to the other side. But, man, you go up there and I bet you if there was 100 people there at one of our family reunions, and it might have only been 30 or 40, it seemed like 100 to me, you know, a little kid. I bet you from one end of that table, every other bowl was green beans. And all them old women cooked them into mush. You couldn't stick them with a fork. You had to scoop them up with a spoon. Terrible, terrible. It was awful. I hated family reunions. And you know what else I hate about family reunions? The men would stand around out there smoking and joking and all that stuff, you know. And the women are over in the kitchen putting everything together. And they always fed the kids first. And all them kids, here they are 5, 6, 7 years old, and we're interested in running and playing and doing all of our children thing. And then mamas would get them young as a, and every last one of them would get a chicken breast. They'd have enough, Goliath couldn't eat all they had on that plate. And the kids would go on, and time the men got there, there wasn't nothing left but wings and thighs and backs. That ain't right. That, I'm going to tell you, that ain't right. And God's going to fix that at the judgment. And the men would come through and we'd get the choice stuff. And then the ladies would come through. And they got the necks and the wings. Amen. Of course, I always had a sneaking suspicion. They had been eating a long time before everybody else got started. So, I never looked forward to a reunion. All them old women, and they all smelled all musty and old. They got out that one summer dress or whatever it was, you know, and put it on. They all had their little powder and stuff. And every last one of them, God knows, every last one of them wanted to hug your neck. You're just a, and Peach, you're just the cutest little thing. Now, aren't you boys, boy? No, lady, I belong to the dog catcher. And they're all hugging you, you best about choke, you know. They keep them old dresses in them footlockers at the end of the bed with the mothballs. Lord have mercy. I hated family reunions. But I must confess, since I got saved, I'm kind of looking forward to one. When we get home to glory. When we get home to glory. And I got that glorified supernatural body like unto His glorious body. And I put my feet on Glory Boulevard and look around and there stand my little 5'2" blue-eyed mama with her little old arms out. My soul said, I'm going to come apart. I'm going to come apart. I'm going to hear my daddy say, son, is that you? We worried about you for a long time. I made it, Papa. I made it. I look over there in the corner and there'll be John Lee standing there like this. Hey, sucker. Oh, my soul, my soul. Listen, folks, I want to see so bad. My daddy and I, we fought like cats and dogs most of my life. He was hard-headed. Sometimes he was downright obstinate. We didn't communicate real good sometimes. And the honest truth is, I forgot how much I loved him. He was a good man. And he'd have done anything for me. He was proud of me. He didn't understand me. He never did. But he loved me. He'd have cut off his arm for me. And I remember the night we went over to the hospital when he had his heart attack. And I should have known better. But I just didn't. I knew the EMTs had come down to Bernice's house and picked him up and carried him to the hospital. But I'll be honest, I just expected to go in and cheer him up. And we got back to the emergency room, and the EMT was talking to Bernice and talking about, he's gone. Man, that hit me like a bomb. I mean, you ask my wife, I heard him say that. I had to turn around. I mean, it's stagnant. My daddy can't die. That guy's indestructible. That's the toughest, meanest old man. He'll live till Jesus comes. Boy, I've missed that old man since he left. You have no idea. We're going to have a reunion one of these days. Have a reunion. That old Papa's going to be standing there. The hair all kind of pushed over. Bushed up in the back. Kind of receding hairline. That straight nose, and it's kind of curved where he cut it. He was making me a bow and arrow one time and cutting it out of the top of a tree and missed and cut his nose wide open like that. And I got a scar right down to here. I can see him standing there with that sharp pointed nose kind of twisted right at the end. And them steel blue eyes. Oh, my soul. There's a reunion coming. You grow weary now. You get tired now. It gets hard sometimes. You want to quit. You want to sit down and complain about how rough the journey is. I'm here to tell you, when you get home to glory and you have that reunion and you shake little old mama's hand and that little old darling puts her arms around you and hugs you up real close, I guarantee you, you'll say, it's worth it all to get home to glory. A reunion. We may be weary now, but the music there will be angelic. We may be weary now, but the company there will be divine. We may be weary now, but the future there is heavenly. Man, I tell you what, everything I know that's worth looking forward to is tied up in that city. I want to finish the journey. I want to finish the course. By God's grace, as long as I got breath in this old body, I want to put one foot in front of the other. I walk down that straight and narrow. I don't want to look to the right hand nor to the left. I don't want to let the duration or the hard places or the food or what God supplies, I don't want anything to get my eye off the gate to the city. I want to finish my course. I want to fight a good fight. It's a journey you only make once. And no matter how hard it is, and no matter what the obstacles are, when you get home to glory, it'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. Now, between now and then, we're still on the journey. We haven't arrived yet. It'll be worth it. But between now and then, God's got little refreshing stations along the way. I remember one time I was in the Philippines, and we were at Subic Bay, along the Post City, and the Navy station there had an AC Ducey Club. That's first and second class. And behind the AC Ducey Club was the Binikatan Golf Course. And we used to go in there and play golf. And when the ship would pull in for 4 or 5 days, I didn't go to town much. I just never was. That just wasn't my thing. Me and two or three other fellas, I went hunting one time. We bought one of them bows off of them Indians and some of them homemade arrows. And we took a salt shaker. And we was going to go out in the jungle and kill our own food. And we had a 3-day pass. And we were out there hunting, and we found some big old crawfish and stuff, and we had a lot of fun. But the second day we was out there, we looked up on a hillside, and there's a bunch of natives up there. Look like Indians. We waved at them. They waved back. And we got back to town a couple of days later, and we was telling this fella about it. He said, "My soul, man," he said, "it's a miracle you're back." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Those are Moro Indians. So they headhunters." And said, "And you they have to get ahead before they can get married. It's a rite of passage." Well, I didn't know if I wasn't saved then, but the Lord was looking out for us. On the golf course, every third hole, they had a little stand where you could get cold beer or soda pop or whatever. Every three holes, they had one. And so we'd go play golf and drink soda pop. I mean, we would slush when we walked when the game was over. It was hot and muggy, and us, you know, we weren't used to the humidity and the temperature and all that wear us out. So they had them little stands. Every three holes, you could stop and get something cold to drink. I thought about that one time. On this journey home, we get weary. But God's put little stands along the way to refresh us. You know what church does? If you take it right, if you come with the right attitude, if you're looking for the right thing, church is supposed to pip you up. It's supposed to refresh you. You come in and sit down and take a load off your feet and listen to old fat boy get up there and scream and shout and have a good time. And you get a little laugh and you cry a little and you think a little and you get reinvigorated a little. And when you leave here after an hour, you're pumped up, charged up, and you're ready to go charge hell with a squirt gun. Amen? You're going down life's highway serving the Lord, and it gets a little tedious sometimes. My daddy used to say, tedious. He said, life sure does get tedious. But you're going along, and things don't always go your way, and sometimes you're a little down. You ever been to a good camp meeting? Now, you ever notice there's not a lot of good preaching at camp meeting? You're not going to learn a lot of Bible. But that's not what it's for. It's a refreshing station. That's where you go to get reinvigorated. That's where you go to let off your steam. That's where you go to unwind and lose some of your stiffness and your coldness and your deadness. You go to a camp meeting, and after 3 or 4 days, you ought to be loose enough to throw the songbooks in the air and run the bases. Amen? Now, I never was much of that, but I always enjoyed watching other folks. We was at Lackey's one time, and there was this little old lady. She was about that big. Real prim and proper. Had her hair in a little bun back there on the back of her head, you know, with a when a pin things through it. She had on a black two-piece suit. Collar right up to here, buddy. And the hem of that thing was right down about 3 or 4 inches above her ankles. You couldn't see nothing but her face and her hands. And that little old lady sat down there, and the first night or two she go. And the next night she had her hanky and she go. And the next night, man, she was standing up. Everybody else was sitting down, she was standing up, she was waving that thing. And she was rocking her. I told my wife, I said, she's gonna get it. Thursday night, boy, I mean you could just see it. She was about to blow up. Friday night, Dr. Ruttman got up and preached, and he's preaching on the 7 crowns that a Christian can win. I'm telling you, that little old lady come loose. And down the middle aisle she went as fast as you, now you ladies have a hard time running them straight skirts. Amen. And so she wasn't making big strides, but she was moving them little feet down there about 100 miles an hour. Everybody down the center aisle she went, throwing that little hand up there. Woo, glory! Woo, glory! Woo, glory! All the way around that big old thing. 3 times. Oh, that's wonderful. You say, what is that? That's a refreshing station. That's where you go down and you lose the stiffness this old world puts in you. You know, the world wants to squeeze you down and shut you up, and you get all uptight, and you get where you can't say amen, you can't say glory to God. Folks don't enjoy the Lord much anymore. We come to church and a guy can preach and nobody cries. Nobody's eyes get full of tears. Nobody sings and shouts. I mean, it's just kind of dead and staid and just formal and not much in it. And so you go to one of them camp meetings, boy, and you get a little break there and everybody else making a fool out of himself, and you say, well, why not? And man, you leave there feeling good and without a handkerchief. Thank you. God's got little stations along the way because He knows we'd get weary. You ever been to a good gospel singing? Oh, I got the McCamies are coming. And Roger Fortner got a new song. My wife says it's real good. You didn't tell me fib, did you? No. You know what them good old singings are for? People say, well, you know, some of that Southern gospel music, some of it's not real scriptural. Really? We never noticed. But it sure does make you feel good, don't it? All that stuff about heaven. All that stuff about God taking care. All that stuff about God giving the victory. Amen? My soul, man, you listen to that stuff. Some of it's a little upbeat, a little up-tempo. Boy, do you get to feeling good and patting that foot and getting where you want to sing along. Now, see, honestly, I don't like contemporary because I can't sing with that stuff. I can sing with that four-part male harmony. I can sing with that quartet music. Now, not good, but I can sing with it. What I mean is I can keep up with it. That stuff gets in your heart, man. You get to singing, and you get to think about heaven, and you get to shaking that hand, waving that hand, boy. I mean, and you just have a good old time, and you forget about the cares and the troubles of this life. I want you to say, what is that? That's you going down the highway. That's you on your journey from here to heaven above. That's you going down the straight and narrow, just like you're supposed to. And you get a little tired, and you get a little weary. And God Almighty said, I need to lift old Brother Lewis up. Hands are getting a little heavy. I need to speak to Brother Steve. He's just getting a little sag. Down there. He just not lifting his feet like he used to. And God will put a little station out there and give you a little blessing and a little encouragement and lift your spirit and get you charged up. And bless God, you're ready to go on for a while. That's what my God does. My God's a good God. And He knows the journey is long. And He knows we grow weary. And you know what He does? He makes provision. He knows our frame. Are you on the journey? Now, where are you at on the journey? Maybe you're all pumped up right at the moment. Glory to God. Enjoy it. Let it be contagious. Let the whole wide world know you're all excited. Amen? You're down in the dumps a little bit. Things haven't gone your way. You've had bad news. Maybe you need to pump it up tonight. Maybe you need a little encouragement. God's faithful. He'll not let more come your way than He gives you grace to handle. Somebody said one time, God's grace will never lead you where God's grace can't keep you. Amen. And if you're in good stead tonight and things are going well, down the road someplace, the road will get a little weary. Life will get a little tedious. And you look down and see them promises. Boy, sometimes they seem a ways off. And God will say, listen, just right around that corner right there, I got a little stand. And you can get a cold drink down there. You can get a little refreshing. You can stop there for a minute and rest your feet. Get you a cold drink. Get an encouraging word. You can get on the road again. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Amen? Let's not grow weary. And if you grow weary, stop by one of the little stands every now and then. Get you a cold drink. Let's pray. Father, help us now tonight. Give us liberty and power.